Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. Glad you could join us. And again, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with the message, I'll be preaching from Acts chapter 16. Now, I began this message last week. This is a series of messages. I believe there are going to be three. So this is part two on what it means to believe. What it means to believe. And I'm using Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31 as my base text for these messages concerning issues of believing, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, issues of faith. And this is the story. I urge you, if you didn't hear last week's, get a copy of last week's. You can order it on our website or call us or email us, and we'll send you a copy of the first part. But this is so important. Because the Bible tells us, just like here in this text, when Paul and Silas, they've been in jail in Philippi, and as you know, they prayed and they praised God, and the Lord opened up the jails and loosed the chains. They came out, and the Philippian jailer met them, and he was so distraught, he was going to kill himself because the penalty for allowing prisoners to escape was death. And so, but Paul told him, verse 28, he said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." Paul and Silas didn't leave. Apparently none of the other prisoners left. Now, I don't know all the details because this is one of the historical books, the book of Acts, and we're not given all the details. But Paul and Silas stayed, and the jailer brought them out. Look at verse 30. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In verse 31, they said, Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And so he's talking about believing. Well, faith is necessary for salvation. And this is why this is so important. And there's so many people who are so confused and, sad to say, ignorant on the matter of faith, what it is and what it's not. And I dealt with that last week concerning faith being based on God's Word. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you believe something that is not fully revealed in the Word of God, in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, then what you're believing as far as salvation goes is false. There are people who have faith in idols. There are idol gods. There are counterfeit Christ. So what I need to do is to get into the Bible and to find out what this book says about Christ. And somebody says, "Well, you read the Bible your way, we read it our way." Well, the thing about it is there are rules for interpreting the Bible. And I wrote a book on this, and we offer it to you free of charge, called Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. Rightly Dividing the Word. And, of course, that comes from Paul's word to Timothy. Don't be one who's going to be ashamed. Be one who studies, be a student of the Word. Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And what that book is, it gives you rules of interpreting the Bible. Somebody says, "Well, you interpret it your way, I interpret it my way." There are rules of interpretation, and you need to know those. And so if you'd like to get a copy of that book, then order it. It's Rightly Dividing the Word, Rules for Interpreting the Bible. And again, we send it to you free of charge. Just go to our website, call or write or send us an email. And we'll send you that book. We've got other books, too, concerning what is salvation, what is the righteousness of God, the glory of God in the gospel. We'll send them all to you if you want them. But I call them my self-examination series. And it's good to start with Rightly Dividing the Word, because when you examine yourself, as far as salvation, you've got to go to the Word of God. And to go to the Word of God, you've got to know the rules of interpretation. Now, of course, it takes the Spirit of God to reveal these things to us. You can read and study and memorize until you're blue in the face, but if God is not pleased to reveal it to you, then you're lost. And we pray that as you seek the Lord, that He will reveal Himself to you, and I believe He will, for those who sincerely seek Him. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. So look at these things. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is this believing? Well, look over at Romans chapter 1 with me. You've got a couple of places here in the book of Romans I want you to see. Verse 16. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome here, in verse 16 he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, it's the gospel, and it's good news, and it's the gospel of Christ. And what does it say about Him? He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, what he's talking about here is the gospel, the word of the gospel, the good news to sinners who need salvation by grace. They don't need just a jump start. They don't need a little help. You know, people say God helps those who help themselves. When salvation, that is not true. And that's not even in the Bible. That's not the gospel. If given our state of being sinful, born dead, fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, and dead in trespasses and sins, given that state, if the gospel were God will help you, if you'll help yourself, we'd all be doomed. If left to ourselves, we would not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If left to ourselves, we would not repent. The Bible says, repent or perish. So, thank God that it's the power of God unto salvation. And that's the gospel in the power of the Spirit sent forth from the Father and the Son to bring a sinner from death unto life. From unbelief to belief. From lack of repentance to repentance. All of those things. So he says it's the power of God, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, how do you know if the gospel has been made the power of God unto your salvation? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And understand this now. I preached on this last week now. Do you believe on the true Christ? We went over to 1 John 5 and talked about how God has brought His people to know Him that is true. There are counterfeit Christ. And let me tell you something. Let me give you something to think about. There are false Christ being preached from the pulpits in the world today. That is part of God's judgment against the world and Satan's deception. Read 2 Thessalonians 2 on that. I'll preach on that one day. I'll give you verse by verse on that, talking about the great falling away and the lying wonders of Satan. And it's false religion. It's false Christianity. You remember Christ told His disciples as we approach the days of His second coming, He said in those days they'll come saying, here's Christ, there's Christ, but don't follow them. There'll be some who'll come saying they are Christ. Most people aren't fooled by them. But what most people are fooled by is the false Christ that are being preached from most of the pulpits in America and in the world. A false Jesus. Paul spoke of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, if he that cometh to you preach another Jesus, another gospel by another spirit, one of a different kind, He says, don't bear with them. Bear with me, he said. Now, how am I going to know the difference between a counterfeit Christ and the true Christ? There's only one true Christ. There are many counterfeits. But how am I going to know the difference? What's the record, John said in 1 John 5? The record is the Word of God, the Scriptures here. So when Paul in Romans 1:16 here, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the true Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Now, what is it? What, you know, as I said last week, the base word, the Greek word for faith and believing is knowledge. It's knowledge that God gives you through His Word by the power of the Spirit, of which you're convinced. You're convinced this is true. And you cannot be unconvinced. That's the nature of God-given faith. You can't lose it. Now, you still have issues of unbelief within yourself that you have to battle. But you won't, if you're saved by God's grace, you'll stay saved. He'll keep you. Faith perseveres. If you claim to have faith and you fall away, what does the Bible say? It says you didn't have real faith, God-given faith, the power of God unto salvation to begin with. That's what it says. I don't care how long you claimed it. But what is it about this that tells us that we believe in the true Christ? Well, look at verse 17 of Romans 1. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. Now, the gospel of Christ, now listen to it, the gospel of Christ is the revelation of the righteousness of God. From faith, revealed from God, from faith to faith. What do you mean from faith to faith? Now think about faith and believing as virtually the same thing. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul told the Philippian jailer, you have faith in Christ. If you have faith in Christ, if you believe in Christ, you have knowledge given by God. You've been taught of God. It's been revealed. See, it's the righteousness of God revealed from faith. Now, what is that? To faith. What is he talking about there? Well, commentators will give you different answers on this. Some say that means from one degree of faith to another. We know faith grows. The Bible in 2 Peter 3:18 talks about growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn more of His Word. But what this means, what this phrase, faith, from faith to faith, means is from faith. Now, faith sometimes refers to the knowledge, the doctrine, the body of truth that is preached, the gospel. Sometimes it's called the faith. What faith are you? You say, well, I believe this part or that part, or I'm in this denomination. You see, well, from faith means the body of doctrine, the body of truth, the Word of God. To faith is the gift of faith whereby God brings us to believe His Word. And He says here, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. Now, what does it mean to be justified? Well, to be justified means that I'm forgiven completely, 100% of all my sins. And it means that God will not and cannot charge me with the debt of my sin. He cannot impute sin to me. The Bible says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God cannot charge a believer with sin, a true believer. A believer is one whom God chose before the foundation of the world. It's one who is justified. It's one who is redeemed by the blood of Christ. A believer's sins were charged to Christ, and Christ died for those sins to redeem him. Therefore, God cannot justly charge me with my sin. My sins were charged to Christ. He was made sin, the Scripture says. And I'm justified. I'm free. I'm cleared of all guilt. And I'm made righteous in Him. His righteousness, this is the righteousness of God here in Romans 1:17. His righteousness is laid to my charge, given to me, imputed to me. I'm made the righteousness of God in Him. So therefore, he tells us right here that the preaching of the gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So if I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or believe Him, or believe on Him, I must know and submit to the righteousness of God. Well, what is that? What is the righteousness of God? Well, if you look over at verse 1 of Romans 1, now listen to this. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, verse 2, which he had promised afore or before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You see, he makes sure that they understand that this is from the Bible. What Bible he had, he's talking about the Old Testament. And Christ, the Old Testament is all about Christ, full of Christ. And he says, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, you know what that talks about? The deity of Christ. Concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ is God, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, who has no beginning and no end. He is God. So, in other words, if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in His deity. I believe He's God. I talked about over in Matthew 1 and 23, His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then it says, which was made, verse 3 now, Romans 1, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's His humanity. His perfectly sinless humanity. Just like I'm a man, and there are men out there, human beings. Christ was a man. The difference was, I'm a sinful man. He's a sinless man. He's God-man. He has two natures, God, deity, and humanity without sin. And it says in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now that's what He did. In other words, the gospel concerns the person and the work of Christ. The gospel, the believing in Christ means you believe in who He is and you believe in what He accomplished when He died on the cross. Who He did, what He did. That's what it's talking about. Now, who is He? God manifest in the flesh. What did He accomplish on the cross? Now, listen very carefully to this point. When Jesus Christ, you know, everybody who calls himself a Christian talks about the cross, talks about the blood. They may sing that song, "What can wash away my sins?" Nothing but the blood. Do you really believe it's nothing but the blood? Everybody says they believe in Christ, the crucified Christ, that He died, He was buried, He arose again the third day. Here's the key now. What exactly did Christ accomplish when He died on that cross? And the Bible says it here in Romans 1:17. The righteousness of God was accomplished. Now, what is the righteousness of God? Well, the word righteous means justness. God is just. What is this about God's righteousness, the justness of God? Well, the Bible teaches us that that we all fell in Adam. We fell into sin. We fell into death. And we're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We are totally depraved by nature. And that total depravity. Now, when I say depravity, you might have all kinds of things come up in your mind. Okay? Now, think about this. You might have all kinds of ideas in your mind about depravity and what that depravity means. But let me show you something over in John chapter 3. Now, in verse 18. Now, here's Christ speaking of a religious man named Nicodemus. Now this is a man who had risen to great heights in his religious sect, the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. That's the Jewish court. And they didn't just put anybody on that. And he told Nicodemus, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter. And he told him about the gospel, talked about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. This is where you have John 3:16. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now there it is. What does it mean to believe? Whosoever believeth in him, the true Christ, both who he is and what he accomplished, whosoever believeth on him, in him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's a beautiful verse. But it doesn't mean what most people think it means. Most people think that it means that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody, and now it's up to you to seal the deal by believing. And that's not what it says at all. If God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody, even those who perish eternally, then my friend, there is no hope of salvation for any of us, according to the Bible. Because if left to ourselves, we will not believe. We won't believe of our own wills. Now we just won't. 1 Corinthians 2:14, I quoted all the time, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, they're spiritually discerned. If left to ourselves, we will not receive him. Now hold your finger there at John 3 and look over at John 1. Now remember what Christ told Nicodemus. He said you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. So it takes a new birth. How's one born again? There's a popular book written by a popular evangelist on how to be born again. And here's what he says. He says, in order to be born again, you must believe. You believe and then you're born again. You make your decision and then you're born again. That is not what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible teach? Well, look at John chapter 1. And I don't have time to go through all the verses that I could go through here now. I'm not just picking out pet verses. You won't find me any verse in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation where a sinner of his own free will does what's right in God's eyes. It takes the gift of faith, and to get the gift of faith, it takes the new birth by the power of God. But look at John chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, he, that is Christ, came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now that's us by nature. Now, who will receive him? You know, back in the Old Testament, God continually reprimanded the Jews, the Israel, for not believing him. But he told them, he said, now in the future, it's not going to be like that. I'm going to have a people. I'm going to give them a new heart, give them a new spirit, new life, and they'll be my people and I'll be their God, and they shall all know me. Now, what is God telling them there through the prophets? Is he saying, now, you all won't believe, but in the future, there's going to come a better class of people who have more good, who are better than you? No. It's by grace through the new covenant, which is ratified by the blood of Christ. It's all conditioned on Christ, not conditioned on us. So look back at John 1:11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. They didn't believe in him. Verse 12. But as many as received him. Now there are some who receive him. They believe in him. Who are they? Well, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now the word power there is not the same word power in Romans 1:16, which says the gospel is the power, the dynamite of God. That speaks of ability. It's God who is able to empower the gospel to my salvation. But here the word power means the right or the privilege. Now here's what it's saying. Do you claim to believe in Christ? Do you claim to be a child of God? Do you claim to be saved? What right do you have to make that claim? I make that claim. What right do I have? Who has that right? Well, it says, as many as received him. They have that right to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe in the true Christ. Now look at verse 13. Don't let this go by you. Those who received him, who believe on his name, who have the right to be called the sons of God, they are those Verse 13, which were born. Now, what birth is he talking about here? Well, not of blood. He's not talking about our physical birth. He's not talking about our physical pedigree or heritage. Nor of the will of the flesh. That means the works of the flesh. The new birth did not come about by our natural birth or being born. Like, for example, the Jews would say, well, we're children of God because we're the seed of Abraham. Oh, no, it's not by blood, not by physical pedigree. And they might say, well, we know we're children of God because we've done what we were supposed to do. You might say that. Somebody says, well, I accepted him as my personal Savior. I walked an aisle. I confessed him before men. I was baptized. Oh, no. Now, should believers be baptized and confess Christ before men? Yes, but that doesn't bring about the new birth. That's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the works of the flesh. Now, look at the next line, John 1:13. Nor of the will of man. It's not of your will, your decision, your desire that you're born again. He says in verse 13, which were born but of God. Born of God. And that's God's business. That's God's work. Now go back to John chapter 3. Now keep this in mind now. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. That's not talking about everybody in the world, for God so loved the world. He's not talking about every individual. He's talking about his elect out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And he says in verse 18, now look, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil, their works. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, and lest his deeds should be reproved. That's man by nature. And he births us again to believe on him. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.